Blog Talk Radio.
This is a calling in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this day revealed to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I? And daughters from afar, everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari, in the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world, in the land of Ethiopia.
Handout here and there. We want all of our rights.
hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in confrontation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. What we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shine and star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to the East of the World Federation Incorporated, local number 26, coming to you with their weekly broadcast every Sunday night at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. with your host, the wonderful and the lovely Sister Sadie Gomez. Give her a hand as she comes to the mic.
Thank you, Dr. Ingram. For a so warm welcome on this wonderful Sunday evening. This is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, coming to you live and alive on this wonderful Sunday evening. Dr. Winborn, I don't know if we should start quite yet, seeing that I would like to switch both to fill up a little more, hoping for more conversation. So maybe we can go into some music for another 3 minutes, perhaps.
Okay, how about we take a quick commercial break, and then we will be right back.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join in the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don, Jr. CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
We live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com.
families rise. Gather up, the time is near. The kingdom of Jah must manifest, the land don't declare. The center of the earth, the ark of the covenant is near, where the child was born, wearing the new name. God and earth, Haile Selassie is the name. Holy Shashamani, land of milk and honey.
Thank you so very much. And thank you, Dr. Winmoon, for that wonderful introduction. This is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation, Incorporated, Local 26. Thanking all of you for coming out this evening. Our topic of conversation, we are here faced with the COVID-19 story, wondering what to do. And we are hoping this evening, I know we have some experts in the line, and we would have our questions answered. The COVID-19 virus has been with us now for more than a year, and we are struggling with a cure and a means to curb the spread of this virus, but yet it continues to rise and spread viciously all over the world. Let us now say India is in our prayers as we continue to see how the COVID-19 virus ravished the Indian population. We see that the virus does not discriminate. The young and the old were all vulnerable at that time. India is facing a terrible situation right now. There are dead bodies lined up. There are dead bodies piled up on the streets because there's no way to bury the dead. I can imagine in such an ongoing crisis, what do you do? Families are devastated. That is also a painful thing. But now we have unexpected deaths in such a great amount. here we are, United States, though we see that the pandemic has continued to inflict us as we go around. Misery around the world with this pandemic. Brazil is also devastated. What are we to do in this crisis? And where did it come from? The vaccine is also questionable because we are wondering which one to take. There are four different vaccines in the market at this time. And we are wondering what can we do in this face of suffering. But our mics are open at this time, and we know that we do have a lot of important people that can give us some good advice. We also have a special guest on today that is going to co-host with us, Queen Afoya. I'm not calling your name properly, Queen, but I do welcome you to the show. And
thank you.
At this time, I would... Okay, Queen. I would open the mic of 272-219. Is this you, Queen, that you can fill us in on this information about the COVID-19? Welcome.
Thank you so very much, sister, and peace and blessings to you. Peace and blessings to Dr. Wimborne and to everyone within the sound of my voice. My name is Queen Amina. I happen to host another show on the Blog Talk Network through the Neo Nation Radio on Monday nights called the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show, and I am very happy to be here tonight. one of the issues that I'm finding, and I have a couple of notes that I want to share, because I remember when...
I don't mean to cut you off. One moment before you get going. I hear background noise, and so I want everyone to be conscious of their background. If there's talking in your background, please put your phone on mute so that we can hear everything that we need to hear. All right, Queen, please. All right, continue.
All righty, yes. And again, I really do hope that the family can pay attention to this, because this is something that is very important to us. And it's very, very important to the world, actually. I mean, we see what's happening in the world. We see what's going on. And a lot of things that are happening, we are not being told the truth about. And so the problem that I have is that when I do have this conversation with different individuals and they want to over-debate me. And we have a lot of information that is already out. We have a lot of real doctors, real scientists, real laboratory experts who, and even the FDA, and the former director of the FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration, coming out and letting us know there's more going on than meets the eye. So I had recently... received a report. When I say recently, I mean like yesterday, from one of my people, because I have a lot of people who work in the government and also in the medical industry, and they sent me the conference with, I think, the Senate and the former director, Dr. Stephen Hahn, from the FDA, and he was basically saying that, and it was blunt. He was very blunt at it. He said that the FDA would not approve any vaccine that, quote, we wouldn't feel comfortable giving to our own families, end quote. He also added that any vaccine that is approved will have to meet rigorous expectations for safety and effectiveness. Now, those of us who understand biology and understand or immunization process know that generally when a vaccine is created, they will take at least 10 years, at least 10 years to study the efficacy, the side effects, and how it affects human beings, period. How it actually affects living organisms, because they, of course, have a tendency to start with animals. They start with guinea pigs. They start with lab rats, mice, white mice, brown mice. They also use ferrets now, little ferrets. Now, I need you all to listen closely. Every animal that was used in this vaccine trial died. Every animal, mice, rats, ferrets, guinea pigs, dead. okay? These are living mammals. We are also living mammals, okay? We're the highest level of the food chain. We're the greatest creation the universe has ever made. Us, humankind, especially melanin-dominant humankind, meaning black people, people who have African roots, whether it's Afro-Caribbean, Afro-American, African-African, okay, Afro-European, whatever you want to say, whatever your hyphen is, the first word is always African. So in general, we have seen a lot of different, quote-unquote, genetic makeups of human beings, meaning whether you're melanin dominant or melanin recessive or what we would call a European or a Caucasian. Okay, there's really no, I don't like to call people racist because there ain't no race. I'm not running. We're all human family. The African person is the first person, and everybody's genealogy comes from our genealogy. Ever. When we look closely at people who are being grossly negatively affected by this vaccine rollout, people are experiencing all types of palsies, from Bell palsy to cerebral palsy, meaning Bell's palsy is when your face is dropping on one side. It looks almost like you're going through a stroke, but there's no stroke actually happening. It's just paralysis in the facial muscles. Then you have cerebral palsy, which is even worse because that means that your brain is experiencing a palsy, which then can make you overly convulsive, like you have Parkinson's, if you will. You're constantly shaking. You don't have control over your motor functions and your legs and your arms and your head and your neck. You don't have control over those things, including eye blinking. All these things are involved in defects of cerebral palsy, as well as the myelitis. All of these little itises have to deal with swelling of your brain and your spinal cord, okay? I've physically seen people who no longer have total function over themselves, okay? They need serious assistance to do basic things, feeding themselves, getting dressed, going to the bathroom. They're not, it's not happening. They need help. They need a nurse, or their spouse has taken up the responsibility to take care of them and to make sure that they're going to the bathroom, they're bathing, they're eating, they're getting dressed. These were normal, healthy people before they took this vaccine, okay? So it wasn't just the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that was creating blood clots in women and making them have heart attacks and or stroke and or aneurysm or embolism, if you will, which is when you get a blood clot in your brain, it bursts and you die. It's instant. So aside from the clotting issue, you also have these palsies and these other disorders, including Guillain-Barre syndrome, where you may have partial or total paralysis. You may be either paraplegic, where you can't move your legs, or you can't move your legs or your arms, which is quadriplegic. This is not a game. This is very serious what's going on. And so in my research, I'm tying it also to what they want to call the Great Reset. If you have an opportunity, please Google the Great Reset, meaning that they want to start over again. Start over how? Like, we're all here. There are approximately 7.7, 7.6 billion people on this planet. And a part of the Great Reset, as well as what we call Malthusian theory, is to depopulate this planet by the millions. Depopulate. So there are certain doctors who have stuck their necks out, put their entire careers and their lives on the line to explain to us just how dangerous this particular vaccine rollout is because of the fact that it has not had the time to be tested properly. You cannot create a vaccine in less than a year or even 2 years. You cannot create a successful vaccine in that way. And so in going back to the former director, Dr. Hahn, of the Federal Drug Administration, and I say former because he got fired recently for what he came out and said a few months ago, which was what I quoted to you at the top of my commentary in this particular program this evening. he came out and said, we can't approve anything that we would not want to give to our own families. The FDA had a fit. They fired him. So we have to, I always say, follow the money in every situation, because we live in a capitalistic society. And though a lot of us are very, very spiritual and some of us are very, very religious and blah, 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 you still better follow the money. You need to look at who's co-signing who, who's writing what checks to whom. With regard to India, dear sister, I heard what you said at the top of the show about what's happening in India. It is a travesty, but it is not a travesty because people are just all of a sudden getting COVID and dying. That doesn't make any sense. How is it, and I'm not trying to sound facetious because I know we have lost people, I myself, as well as my family, we have lost loved ones due to, quote unquote, this pandemic. However, the people who did pass in the beginning had very serious health conditions, okay? They had more than one what we call comorbidity, meaning that they had hypertension, blood pressure, and diabetes. They were obese. Maybe they were suffering from a cancer. They were in chemotherapy, things like that, and they didn't make it. Now, that could have been because of, quote-unquote, the pandemic and the, quote-unquote, virus, or that could have just been because they caught a very strong strand of the flu, which is what many doctors have said this actually is. And it's very interesting and slightly coincidental that the news media and the puppets on television refuse to tell you how to boost your immune system. They just want you to wear a mask and wash your hands. Honey, first of all, wearing a mask will make you sicker. It can make you sick. Many people who have to wear masks every day in work are constantly complaining of sore throat, runny nose, slight fever, because you're not able to excrete carbon dioxide in a normal and healthy way. You're breathing it back in by wearing a mask every day, especially if you're in a work environment that requires you to keep it on while you're working, and if they really mandate that you keep it over your nose and your mouth. Your nose has nose hairs in it for a reason. It catches germs, it catches particles, all kinds of things. Our bodies are absolutely incredible. The Creator made the human body, especially the melanin-dominant human body, like a superhero, meaning that you can withstand a lot of stuff. You can make it through a lot of things if you're already a healthy person. But because in the last, I have to say, maybe 50, 75 years, our nutrition has changed, okay? We know the marketing for how we eat has been toxified. Everything is about fast food. Pardon me, going to McDonald's and having a Happy Meal, okay? It's just a hamburger. Why is it a Happy Meal? What's so happy about it? You know, we're going to Sonic, and we're going to Checkers, and we're, you know, everything is fried and greasy, and there's a lot of flesh involved. There's double and triple burgers at Wendy's and double, triple Whoppers, and we're just being marketed to over-consume very unhealthy food. And these foods will toxify your body and compromise your immune system if you eat them all the time. If you're not intaking regular, just fruits and vegetables, right? You know, summer is coming, peach season, watermelon, oranges and apples and pineapple and all the wonderful fruits, you know, grapefruit, lemon, lime. If you are including these fruits and vegetables as well as dark green vegetables like kale, spinach, collard greens, mustard greens, broccoli, if you're eating these things on a normal basis with your meal often, then you probably are a more healthy person than the individual who is living off of McDonald's. I don't know if you remember the movie Super Size Me with the guy who decided to eat nothing but McDonald's for 30 days to see what would happen to his body.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember
that?
Oh,
yes, I remember.
And he got so sick in a month. One month. Right?
Yeah, no nutrition. Just
no nutrition. And remember when he put the Happy Meal to the side to see if it would mold or decay in any way, and it didn't?
It never.
The hamburger stayed the same. The French fries stayed the same. Nothing molded. What kind of bread doesn't mold? What kind of meat doesn't go rancid if you just leave it out?
Right? Imagine that. Right. But Queen, oh. we have another Queen on the line, and I would like you all to meet in voices. So I would like to bring her on in a little while, as soon as you know you give us a little break in what you are talking about. So I'd like to continue that as we go on. Okay.
Yes, yes, and I don't want to take forever because I know we have other special guests this evening. But I want us to think, because we do not think like we should. And I make jokes to my friends and my family, and I say, well, you know, I got A pluses in biology, college biology, and lab. I did exceptionally well. I didn't become a physician, but I wanted to learn as much as I could about my body so that I would not be subject to a lot of the games that the medical industry, especially the American Medical Association, a.k.a. the AMA, plays on our people specifically, because we're already targeted. We're already used in everything from human trials to, I mean, we can go back in history and just look at the experimental things that happened to us, okay, whether it was syphilis with Tuskegee, whether it was lead, I mean, everything. They've always used us for so many different things. So we have to really, really think, and we need to take hold of our own nutrition and be careful when we are going to eat, period. And I'm not saying that you can't have those things once in a while, but you need to balance it out with real grain, with brown rice and wild rice, and eat salad all the time. I always make jokes like I'm part rabbit because I eat salad every day, all the time. I have to have vegetables all the time because I know the vitamin B is in there for me, B12, B3, B2. I know that there's potassium in there, there's iron in there. I need those things to be able to sustain myself.
Yeah.
So we done went all the way through COVID, quote unquote, okay? I know myself, I didn't even get the flu in the past. I haven't had the flu in years. Years. I haven't even had a sniffle in a very long time, knock on wood. But honestly, like, I do my best to try and eat well. I drink a lot of alkaline water, and just to make sure I'm constantly flushing my kidneys, making sure I'm keeping my blood clean. I take bitters. I take black seed bitters. I take supercell food vitamins. I do this, okay? This is what we need to do. I take echinacea. I take elderberry. I take vitamin C, at least like 3,000 milligrams. I don't take it every single day because your body will just get adjusted. So you could take it for like 2 weeks and then pause for a week and then do it again. But we have to take control of our nutrition. And this particular thing attacks too many things that you don't understand, and it'll attack your spirituality. I've heard from people who say that they can't feel God anymore. They don't feel spiritual anymore after they took it.
Yeah.
Okay? They have people who the brain fog and they can't get it together. They can't think, or they're passing out everywhere. People are dropping like flies. They're passing out in the street everywhere. People are like, it's not going well, family. So we got through this whole thing, and you yourself didn't get sick, quote unquote, okay? And you know that you're pretty healthy, all right? Maybe you've been eating right, you've been exercising, you do meditate on positivity and love, which is another vibration that we're lacking. We have to think positively and live positively. You need to know that you're a divine entity of the Creator and move in that way. If you're divine, you're not going to want to toxify yourself. You're not going to want to eat foods that you know are just dead all the time and not put live food into your body. I'm not saying you can't have a steak every once in a while, but again, cap that off with white yams and a big salad. Okay? Make your meal a meal that is healthy for you. Okay? This thing attacks chromosome 8. Okay, we've got chromosomes in our DNA. Hi. So chromosome 8 governs your fertility in men and women. Okay? It governs whether or not you're going to have a healthy baby. So with this thing attacking chromosome 8, it literally destroys the opportunity or the mechanism that creates healthy placenta in order for a woman to carry a baby. If there's no placenta, there's no baby. So it destroys placenta. It destroys the enzymes and the things in your body to help create a healthy placenta if you want to have children. So it sterilizes you because you won't be able to hold the baby. It does the same thing to the male sperm. It attacks the head of the sperm, which is let me get my terminology correct here. It has to do with an aurora, if you will, because sperm have like a light at the front of them, which kind of guides them so they know where to go and how to find that egg. It's like they have a little miner's hat in front of them, small as they are. Okay, I think it's semen aurealis is what it's called, semen aurealis, the technical term. But semen is what fertilizes the egg. If you attack the semen aurealis aspect of the semen, it can't find the egg to fertilize the egg in the first place. So you as a man or as a male, you can have the potential to be sterile. Again, this is depopulation. If I make sure you can't even have a baby, the population rate can go down, whoever you are. African, melanin dominant, melanin recessive, whatever, you will have trouble. So remember when we first found out that they said, oh, children can't get it, children are immune to it, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden now you want to vaccinate small children. By vaccinating those small children, they can then develop the potential to become sterile and not be able to produce, not be able to reproduce. This is huge. Chromosome 8 also governs our intelligence. Okay, we as melanin dominant people, regardless of what we have gone through, all the hell we have lived through, we are still geniuses on this planet. Most of what, even the phone I'm talking to you on, was created and perfected by a melanin dominant human being. Okay, the light bulb that I did just came on in my room was perfected by a melanin dominant human being. So we've created and invented everything, cell phones, the internet, toilets, ice cream cones, typewriters, whatever, refrigerators, come on now, fire hydrants, light posts, street lamp, traffic light. We've created all these things. So if this attacks our intelligence, which then has the propensity to make us more docile, okay, and less creative. We created every music that we listened to. Every kind of music came out of us, including classical music. What will happen to our creativity?
That's
I'm a songwriter. I'm a poet. I'm a writer. I write stories. I write music. Everything. I sew. I cook. I design. I create. I don't want anything messing with my intelligence. I like what I'm able to do. I like being multifaceted. Most of us are multifaceted individuals.
Wonderful.
We can do more than
Queen,
one thing.
I want to interrupt
well.
You at this time, Queen. Let me interrupt
ahead,
you to be on the next screen. Queen, Olabisi 646-363, your mic is open. I want you to respond to this in our wonderful conversation for this evening. We are talking about the COVID-19 vaccine, take or not take, and what is this plan or plandemic doing to us all. Your mic is open, Queen, 646-363.
Peace and power. I am so overjoyed listening to my queen sister, because one of the things I think where I am at in this moment is coming into a state of peace with myself in understanding that while most people have suspended their own natural abilities, their ability to think, their ability to reason, their ability to give up the master syndrome, because that's what it is. Everybody's hoping to have a savior, this savior complex. And while we have not really internalized the depth of the savior complex, it is the reason why so many are going to die, because they keep thinking that somebody's coming to save you. And it is our responsibility and our duty as those who might have been here cycles before to warn them. But as my grandmother used to say, who don't hear will feel. So when people are consuming foods that are not electrical in its nature. They are not nutritional. They have no mineral content. And realizing that soon after eating those same foods that they're falling asleep, then at some point in time, they got to face the person in the mirror. And when they begin to face the person in the mirror, that's when they have growth. So even in this harsh conditions with what is happening, this is where they learn to find themselves. So I am still adjusting mentally, spiritually, emotionally to be at peace and allow people to die. As harsh as it sounds, if I'm warning you, here's a big truck coming, here's a big truck coming, here's a big truck coming, I'm pulling the leash, I'm doing everything I can, and you are choosing, you have that right to choose. And because you have that right to choose, I am the one who have to sound the alarm, give you the warning, assist you whenever I believe I can, and then withdraw. Because if I don't withdraw in time, it's like a drowning man. If you don't knock that person out, or if you don't let that person go and allow that person to drown, you're going to drown along with them.
Ashe.
The reality. So, I mean, Sister Queen, I truly appreciate your contribution. I mean, you know, you've been in depth to the point that there's whatever I'm going to say is only going to eclipse what you have already said. And I don't wish to do that. The alarm has been sound. I mean, when you have people just volunteering themselves without reason, without thinking, they have suspended thought. And they have suspended thought because they have the savior complex. Somebody is going to save me. They have even suspended their own fortitude in that instead of them saying, well, okay, let me wait for a moment. Let me make sure it's okay to cross the street. No, somebody is telling me, go. And that's because we have a lot of people who have been schooled but not educated. So they don't have their own instincts. They're not intact. They're not doing introspection, so they're not looking at their own actions to think about it and the long-term or short-term ramifications. And because of that, we have people who will naturally just have to die. I mean, listen, to tell you how I've struggled to be at peace with this, I look at those the early ones. You know, sometimes you see the trees bud really early in the beginning of spring, and then the cold frost come and kill those out. This is part of nature. So while we are thinking about self-preservation, one of the things we have to really acknowledge and say to ourselves, we would not expend unnecessary energy helping those who, one, would not appreciate, and two, not only do they not appreciate it, that they become part of the statistic because that's what they are going to become, but that it don't deplete our energy to save and elevate ourselves.
Ashe.
Anyway.
Well, it's wonderful that my teens are here talking. I would like to interrupt for this moment. We have a few kings on board, and I don't want any jealousy at this time. Queen, have met your sister queen. So the three queens are on the line. It's a wonderful Sunday evening with sisters. Sister, I love you. To sort of be here for queen, my new queen sister. I thank you so much for your input, and it's been so wonderful. But let me bring in some of the men at this time, so there's no jealousy with the women. So for the mic, 347-801, I can recognize this number. Kathleen, your mic is open. You heard about nutrition. It's a topic that you're very passionate about, and you have the queen leading the race this time, okay? So queen of jealousy, on 347.
Give thanks to the one. Moment, go to work, go to song, go to the present moment of our living creator. Peace and blessings to the Empress that gives such of a
a high magnitude of sound and the conscious awareness to our generation. Give thanks for the work put out in economics to bring forward something fruitful for we, the black people of the world. And spirituality, the temple of the Most High begins with the human body, which houses our life, the essence of our existence. Africans are in bondage today because they approach spirituality through religion, provided by foreign invaders and conquerors. We must stop confusing religion and spirituality. Religion is a set of rules, regulations, and rituals created by humans, which were supposed to help people grow spiritually. Due to human imperfection, religion has become corrupt political device and a tool for power struggle. Spirituality is not theology or ideology. It is a simple way of life, pure and original. Aliyai. As was given by the Most High. Aliyai. Spirituality is a network linking us to the Most High, the universe, and each other. As the essence of our existence, it embodies our culture, true identity, nationhood, and destiny. A people without a nation they can really call their own is a people without a soul. African is our nation and is in spiritual and physical bondage because our leaders are turning to outside force for solution to African problem when everything Africa needs is within her. When African righteous people come together, the world will come together. This is our divine destiny by His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I, as we see that he stated a clean, original, natural life, the essence to the link to the Most High. We have a privilege that set out where there's grants. In order to grow, one need an address of land. There's land all around, and we could have mass grade of agriculture all around. Greenhouse, when it get cold, we could set these things up. Get the grant, get the land, and start farming. Get the land, fill up the application for hemp, agriculture, whatever the case may be. As far as the Ethiopian World Federation Medical Department Preventative Medicine and Hygiene, pertaining to coronavirus, immune system builder, we know that the cistern, give thanks, the plant base and the grain and the herbs and the echinacea that you have spoken about, the fruits that you have spoken about, the ginger, the blackberry, the elderberry, chestnut digestion, that's leaf, chamomile, red clover, sage, nettle, tomatoes, dark chocolate, apples, cleansing herb, dandelion, anise, and turmeric, clove, johnwort, ginkgo biloba, flavonoid, yellow balm, comfrey, grung ivy, hops, valerian root, okay, child money, ginger, gilder rose. Yeah, these are herbs, like what the sister and I spoke about, that build the immune system, and how we eat, take care of ourselves. We cannot spend money to have an infection or disease. That is totally insane. To spend money to create a disease upon ourselves and say that here it is, we have benefit anyway. We're going to use the benefit to go to the doctor. Another insanity move, it means that our own faith, we compromise our own faith within the linkage between oneself and the Creator. However, the end result, more or less, never pretty. We have some okay doctors that will say, okay, you cannot eat this. This is all you could eat in order to have more life. But we have came to that point upon our own. Our Creator told us to be self-sufficient and self-reliance. Within this lower contracting party, America, the education and the medical department is set up in a compromising state where it did not benefit the black people. However, it is our responsibility as a higher contracting party to, like what we've been doing for a long time, fight against oppression for truth, rights, and justice. The things that we have spoke about, the marijuana that we've been criminalized, and the way of life, and our natural roots and culture, we have been looked upon as degrading. However, through the IRITs and the power of the Most High, we were able to sustain and be here today to continue, because our Father told us we will multiply four corners of the earth, and we will be, after 400 years, we will be where we need to be. It is over 500 years. And this is what we have facing. Our medical department, agriculture, that is our foundation, communication, and infrastructure, community development, these are the things we have to focus upon. Like the sister said, to withstand, and the biblical said to withstand these plagues that come upon us, we have to be able to walk within the footstep of a clean and natural life. Give thanks for the moment.
Oh, Chaplain, so very, very thankful for your input at this time. Chaplain, wonderful,
yes,
for your talk on nutrition, and most wonderful, your talk on us getting a command of our spiritual self, a cleanliness from inside and outside. The foods we eat would help us to gain that spiritual strength, because as Queen said, that vaccine has an ability to make you almost forget the Creator. And I have heard it before, and it's a very, very conscious conversation that we should have, because if one should forget the Creator, who are we then? For we cannot live or die without him. So at this time, I want to open the mic for someone else so I don't continue talking too much. There's a lot of people on hold at this time, so the mic for 914-363, your mic is open. You could have a conversation, and we'd like your input for this evening.
Yes, Ron Robinson, always a great pleasure.
Welcome.
To listen to the Queen. Queen Amina, Queen Sadie, Queen OBC, everybody, all the queens, just fantastic. Queen Amina, always listen to her on Mondays at 7 to 9, Black Alice in Wonderland, and this just an amazing, amazing, amazing lifted of information and you know, historical facts. She had facts and figures. She had historical facts. You know what I'm saying? You can do your due diligence and research and, you know, check her facts out, and you'll find everything to be above board. And it's just tremendous information that's so necessary for your health. Now, America's considered the great experiment, and it's considered itself the great experiment. And they always pertain to a great experiment in terms of bringing all these different cultures together, languages, people, and whatever, and claiming they have this great success of bringing people together and having people in this melting pot. Well, you can check the history of America from the initial beginning of time that it started. There were experiments going on. They experiment on the Native Americans, medically, physically, and mentally, and spiritually. They experimented on the Europeans who they brought here, who they thought was subservient to them, such as the Irish, the Dutch, the Scottish, Eastern Europeans, ethnic Europeans. If you watch the proliferation of medical history in America, they always studied when people had certain diseases, polio. They studied these people. They took their blood out of them as children, and they cut certain parts of their bodies, and they studied these different types of diseases. They also have created diseases to see what the response of diseases would be, such as the Tuskegee experiment with syphilis. And they gave gentlemen syphilis and didn't say nothing to them and experimented on them. But these experiments were going on for years and years and years and years, almost like mad scientists, almost like a bunch of mad scientists. And America continues with these medical research and this intense feeble ways of trying to find out if we do this, what is the result? Nobody realizes that in this country, the tremendous amount of research that goes on. When you go to your doctor and you fill out a questionnaire and they ask you several different questions about your psychological feelings, they ask you about, you know, you want to kill yourself, you get mad, you get angry, everybody get angry once in a while, I don't know about killing yourself and things of that nature, but it could happen to someone. Someone could have those feeble thoughts. They also ask you about your medical ability. They also ask you about your spiritual. Those questions contain spiritual, medical, and physiological. So after you finish filling out that questionnaire, the most vulnerable people subsequently are people who are poor, people who live in distressful areas, people, like the Queen said, that are eating toxic food, fast food. Even some of the vegetables and some of the fruits are tainted, are created and manufactured in labs, et cetera, have chemical base in them. Through all this, what they do, they're continuously researching the ability of the human body to adhere to this capacity to stress, mental stress, biological stress, physiological stress, and spiritual stress. They test you. You're like a test tube baby. You know, years ago, Sigmund Freud said, you can put people in a certain environment and you could come out with the kind of behavior that you're looking for. You can put they took some rats, they put them in a negative environment, they kept it dirty, they put a whole bunch of them in there, and they didn't feed them, and, you know, the rats were acting crazy. They were eating each other. They were acting like you know, animals. They took some other rats, put them in a nice, clean environment, only kept a few in there, fed them good, cleaned them, kept the place clean. And these rats act civilized. They would walk and stop and let the other one pass by. They would eat and wait till the other one finished eating. And Sigmund Freud said, you can do this to human beings. You can control negative behavior and positive behavior. And there we have projects where people are what? They're overcrowded, they're impoverished, they're mentally and physically on the cusp of a disability. They're put into a toxic environment. They're eating lots of sugar, lots of juices, which is toxic, lots of food, which is toxic. A lot of the food is old. Okay, a lot of chemical-based food, okay? The environment that they're in is toxic, is drug infested, is alcoholism, is all kind of criminality in those projects, and there is a lack of everything, a lack of good schooling, a lack of good medical services, a lack of good, healthy, organic food environment. They call these places a desert places, desert food deserts. There's not good, healthy food. These are all them. These people think these projects come by poverty. It's by design. They built these places because it's experimental. And I can tell you, asthma is a large conditioning in these projects. And they do a lot of testing of these children when they go to hospitals and medical centers. They're not testing so much for the disease itself. They're testing for the result of the conditions that causes those diseases. Okay, so they say you're in a high risk, you're a high risk population. You live in a high risk environment. You have all the high risk implications, poverty, stress, hunger, anger, anxiety, mental manipulation, mental disabilities, physical disabilities. The babies are born on the average in the projects with mental and physical disabilities because what the parents have the same level of distress, and the fetus is, and the embryo and the fetus is feeding upon that. So these projects, this poverty in America, the richest country in the world, you see Joe Biden pull out $1 trillion just for women and children, just to serve women and children in daycare, $1 trillion. They pull out money like they pull a rabbit out of a hat when they want to. So poverty is not prerequisite of being in this country. It's a conditioning. It's a conditioning that they create, because they can create another condition too if they want to. But they continuously, that's why they call this a great experiment. America's a great experiment. And the experimentation is the people that are less than them. Like the officer said, the ex-cop that said he beat up black people, he said because they have nobody. They have nobody to call. They're the lowest on the totem pole, and nobody's going to support them. Nobody's going to believe them. District attorneys, Supreme Court justices, judges, lawyers, whatever. Nobody's going to support them. So I can beat them up all day long, and nothing's going to happen. More experimentation. All the conditioning that you experience is a part of part of what America's all about. It's experimenting on a way to control people. Control them when I want them. Control them when I don't want them. When I want to, like the Queen said, Queen Amina said, when I want to decrease the population, I can get rid of the ones that I want to get rid of through whatever circumstances, whatever medical, mental, or physical circumstances, drug, alcoholism. These young kids running up in parks and streets and shooting each other, never heard of it in my life. And that's not by circumstance, that's by design. Because if you to take these kids, psychologically evaluate them, you will see they have psychological problems, and they're being controlled by the conditions of the environment. If you stop them and talk to them and ask them what's going on, they don't have a clue. After they shot and killed somebody, it's nothing. Because they have no recollection, they have no humanity, they have no feeling. Their psychological ability to reason is gone. And like Queen say, it's due to chemical imbalance, it's due to toxic food, it's due to all kinds of vaccines. They were saying years ago that lead was in the vaccines and that the babies were getting too many vaccinations. You know, when a child is born to the time the child is one, All the vaccinations that they used to have years ago, they didn't have it years ago. Now they're giving the children 10 and 12 vaccinations before they're 2 years old. And medical research was saying that this have a tremendous cause on the medical, physical, and the thinking ability and the growth potential of the child. Just like Queen say, it makes the child dormant, it makes the child illiterate, it makes the child physically and mentally disabled, to dysfunctional. When you have that attention disorder, and they always say black children and minority children got attention disorder, and they start shooting them up with all those kind of behavior modification meds, and your kid turned into a zombie, okay, that child would never be the same again. Once again, killing the ability for the populace to populate, killing the ability for that young man, that young woman to have a relationship, start a family, and be functional. Another way of killing them. Physically, we got zombie, like it's like The Walking Dead. We got people walking around like The Walking Dead. They don't even know what day it is, what time it is, what month it is. They don't know nothing. They don't know cold from hot and hot from winter and winter from fall. They don't know anything. It's walking around in coats and hats and 90 degrees. This is because of the beginning of the experimentation at birth. And we don't even realize the level of experimentation that goes on with black and brown and red and yellow babies, babies of color, tremendous amount of testing, okay? So this is a part of it. This is a part of it. Like Queen said, all of this, all these vaccinations, they're all the same thing. They implemented it. They studied in laboratory, and they have their own implementation. 2005, Dr. Fauci was in Wuhan laboratory, and he came out and made a report that there was a tremendous virus going to come to the world. Nobody remembers that, but Queen said it. The CDC get their money from the WHO, gets their money from research and chemical-based corporations that make up all these vaccines and all this incredible research. So like Queen say, trace the money, trace the development, and see who's paying who. They're all in cahoots together. It's a part of the tremendous. It's a part of the experiment. America was the experiment. That's why everybody came here. But when they got here, the experimentation started from Europe and came to America, and they used to experiment in Africa, and they continued to experiment in Asia, the Caribbean. It was experimentation going all the time. You check out the Catholic Church and when their missionaries went to these different villages and different places and different countries. It was always experimentation. They always brought some medicine, some experimentation, spiritual and mental experimentation. So
Robinson, it was experimentation under the guise of religion.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the quickest way.
Yes, that's the quickest way to get in. The largest population of church that grew back in the 1600s was Protestantism. They call it Protestantism, and that was the covert word for Christianity, and it took over the world. And when you trace it back, like Queen said again, it's the money experimentation. The medical field went in through the churches, through the missionaries, and started shooting people up with all kinds of experimental medications and vaccines and everything. Remember when they went to Africa, and they started shooting them up with all kinds of experimental vaccines, and people died, and they got all kinds of polio, all kinds of sickness that they didn't have before. Experimentation, and they call America the Great Experiment. Experimentation. So it all ties in when you study and you put two and two together. Thank you so much.
Before you go, there's something you said that I reflect upon. When you talk about experimentation and you spoke about the children who now are walking around zombie type, you know, an incident occurred this week whereby a young man went to the synagogues and he started stoning down the place. And he was held eventually. But what I noticed with him, imagine the bicycle that was in the synagogue yard that he stole. The police found him riding around on that same bicycle. That's how they were able to hold him and knew that he was the one that was there. But when I saw the young man, in the hands of the police, he looked like a zombie. He was just walking around, and you can tell he did not know what happened.
Exactly.
Just to reflect on what you said. Okay, so I'll let you go now.
The other thing, very quickly, too, if I can, give me a couple of seconds. The other thing we have to realize, too, they're creating criminality. They're creating the criminal justice system, want to justify the killing of black and brown and yellow and minority people. They want to justify it by high level of criminality. When as soon as they start talking about Black Lives Matter and defunding the police, that's when you start seeing a tremendous amount of kids going into parks just shooting up everybody. Create fear, create criminality, make people of color look like criminals and animals, and now let's go get them. You understand what I'm saying? They're creating fear amongst us to fear each other so that we can say, yes, we see wild now. Actually, you got a lot of black people now marching, talking about, yeah, we need police, more police, more police, because of fear that they committed into the community to make you want more police so that when they get to do their dirt, you're not paying attention. Thank you so much.
Okay, wonderful, Dr. Mason. Thank you so much as well for always being here with us. We thank you. So at this time, Queen, my queen sister, Queen Amina, you have heard some of the king's speak, so I'll let you get back in if you want to share with us something else as well.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, most definitely. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Get right back.
Fantastic. I had my phone on mute, and I wanted to make sure I wasn't making extra background noise. First of all, I have to big up the first brother that spoke. Oh, my goodness, absolutely on point, fantastic. Thank you for giving us the more list of extra herbs and what have you that everybody can take, because another thing that's happened to us is that we've gotten away from dealing with our herbs. And Caribbean people, African people, we continue to, like, to eat our herbs, whereas when I talk about this to sometimes African-American people, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, they may think I'm talking about sometimes if I say the word herb, they just think I'm talking about marijuana. I'm like, no, I'm talking about, like, the really good roots in the ground that provided for us on planet Earth. And I remember specifically a long, long time ago when I first began to study nutrition, and I became a love and an avid supporter of Dr. Sebi Ibaye. He would talk about how the universal creator would not make us or create us to be so magnificent and then not give us a cure for whatever ails us inside of this earth that we live upon. So everything that can go wrong with our bodies, the cure is in the earth. The cure is in a root, an herb, a leaf, a branch, a petal, whatever. The cure is in these wonderful natural substances. And so what we've seen, unfortunately, with European domination is that they spread insecticide. They kill the dandelions. Dandelion root, if you take dandelions that are growing freely and you know that they haven't been sprayed with anything, you can take them and put them in a pot of alkaline water with some lemon and some ginger and make dandelion tea, okay? And it's an antioxidant as well as a blood cleanser. Like, all around us are all of these wonderful things, but again, we suffer because we don't know. We're very ignorant to what it is that we can utilize naturally to help to cure our bodies. Secondly, I want to definitely give a big shout out to the Reverend Dr. Ron Robinson, you know, one of my superheroes, as well as Dr. James Winborn, because when he mentioned about how America is the great experiment, it truly was. That was what it was listed as. This is what they called it, you know. And then when they created the project, you have to remember that project is another word for an experiment.
Dinner last night, it was just magnificent. Let's give it up for you all being so kind.
Thank you so much. But it's, I mean, you know, we have, even when we look at the words, I mean, we always make jokes about English being a very dead language because a lot of the words are actually more morbid than life-giving. So when we look at these things and we're like, okay, I was talking about the projects earlier to my fiance because I was talking about how your environment shapes your mentality and who you are. And so if you are in, quote unquote, sometimes a generational welfare family, okay, or even in a crime family, let's go there, it's very difficult for you as an individual to escape that mindset. Something has to happen to you to trigger you, or you may have to be born with something special inside of yourself to make you go outside of what everybody in your family is doing and has done. And so they realized that when they did this to us, especially as melanin dominant people, that we would suffer. And so, yeah, now we have the zombie children. One of the largest advocates, there are several, of course, but for psychological, I guess, warfare, if you will, against African-American people and young boys is Dr. Umar Johnson. And they like to give him a bad rap, and he was on Roland Martin, and they had a big argument and what have you. But aside from all of those little things and little games, the brother is on point when he talks about the psychotropic drug industry and the Adderall and the Ritalin and what it has done to our young men. And how there is an attack on black boys. There's another book by Mr. Porter who is called Kill Them Before They Grow. And it speaks very, very seriously to the attack on black male children, okay, in the school system. And as you mentioned about ADD and ADHD. Now, I have the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual all the way up to, I think, volume 6 or 7 at this point. It's called the DSM. Anybody who's in social work or psychology, you always have a DSM. And so it's funny because they declassify and classify certain disorders according to the whim of the decade dealing with the powers that be. So they recently declassified, I believe they declassified ADD, I believe, because they're like, how can you measure whether somebody can pay attention or not pay attention? So ADD is attention deficit disorder. ADHD is attention deficit with a hyperactive disorder. And so now they've just latched on to ADHD and said all our little children just can't keep still, so something is wrong with them. What I find in some instances, especially if the child is eating well or comes from a family and a mother and a father who have a healthy disposition in life and they eat well, those children actually can be geniuses because it's very, very easy to misdiagnose a genius and a quote-unquote hyperactive child. So, again, when I go back to how we create everything, we invent things, okay? We always say invention is the mother of necessity, right? So we're the ones that had to do the work. So we're trying to figure out how do I make that easier on myself? If I got to work all night, then I need a light to be able to see so I can work all night. If I am supposed to be the cook and I have to take care of all the food, let me create the refrigerator so the food doesn't spoil. So I don't have to go and pick it and go to the market every 5 minutes to make food for Massa and the family or for whomever I'm serving. We create things out of necessity and creativity. So with the children, and I've known many, many children who they wanted to diagnose as having ADD or ADHD, and as adults, they are supreme human beings. They are multifaceted human beings. They can play instruments. Some of them have been in the service and gotten accolades in the service fighting for this country. You know, they come out, they may use their GI Bill to go to school, and then all of a sudden they get a PhD in education or they get a PhD in physics because they're so highly intelligent and they have something inside of them that is just bubbling to come out because, yes, again, we are so creative and magnificent. So we have to, again, be very careful when it comes to the pharmaceutical industry, because it's a major multi-billion-dollar industry. If you look at Pfizer, Pfizer is not just Pfizer. Pfizer is Pfizer BioNTech. Okay, Pfizer BioNTech. BioNTech comes out of Germany. All right, and do not be dismayed or misled into believing that you still do not have a Hitlerian ideal that comes out of Germany. Don't get it twisted. It's still alive and
It never went away.
Never went away, exactly, right? So here we are, still under the heel, if you will. You know, our neck is on the ground, you know, whether it's a knee or it's a heel. But there's still something over us that wants to continue to hold us down. And what we really
can't breathe.
Right, we can't breathe, right, in many, many ways. Okay, even with the asthma, let me get to that real quick. When it comes to asthma, when it comes to the projects or low-income neighborhoods, and people say, oh, wow, there's so much vermin here. There's rats, there's roaches, there's mice, right? Now, the droppings of the rats and the roaches and the mice are also what lead to the people having a condition called asthma. Now, the rats and the roaches and the mice are drawn to these areas because they have a very low vibration. The people are not giving off a high vibration. Again, we're electrical entities. Okay, human beings are electrical entities, and we as melanin-dominant humans have the most energy above everyone else. It has been measured. It can actually be measured and quantified, okay, just as the human soul has weight to it. It has been quantified. It has been measured. So when we look at these different environments and how toxic they are, okay, you've got violence, rape, malnutrition, lack, overall lack, okay, lack in every facet you can think of, whether it's lack of nutrition, lack of money, lack of education, lack of love, lack of spirituality, right? So that makes that creates a low vibration, and within that low vibration, rats and roaches and mice love that vibration.
Perfect conditions.
Exactly. Right? Because you can have an apartment, and I have been a social worker working in the different projects in New York City, all five boroughs. You can have one apartment that had no rats, roaches, or anything, and then right next door, it's roach infested. You're like, well, what is that about? But the client I have in apartment A is upbeat, hopeful, trying to get out of the system, trying to raise their children to not be victims of the system, to, you know, to be educated, to be empowered, to know that you're a divine entity, to maintain your spirituality. They pray on a regular basis, and they're sincere in their prayers. They're not just talking to be talking. They actually believe and feel their connection to God. And so that household had no roaches. It was clean, no roaches, no mice, no rats. Apartment B, negative attitude, nasty vibe, don't clean your house, barely wash your body, don't treat your children with love and respect. You beat your children, you make them stay outside all day, you lock them out the house, you're sitting up in the house smoking cigarettes and drinking beer all day, watching soap operas and Jerry Springer, and you wonder why your son has asthma, your daughter has, childhood diabetes and what have you. This one's obese. And, like, how you obese in a food desert? Because you eat garbage. You're eating food that doesn't even get a chance to metabolize properly in the body, so your body can't break it down. So it just gets stored somewhere to the side and turns into fat. That's how you become fat. That's how you become obese, if you will. It's because your body is not able to metabolize that which you have ingested to be able to properly digest it. So
that's a malnutrition.
Malnutrition, yeah. But it's funny because people can't equate obesity with malnutrition. They're like, but she's fat.
And it is.
You know what I'm saying, though? So the other key is that, because I had it right on the tip of my tongue, I may come back to it in a second, but basically when we fail, and I mean fail, okay, as the Reverend said, you got GMO and Monsanto. If you don't know where your fruits and vegetables are coming from, if you don't use heirloom seeds or try to use heirloom seeds, which are original seeds from the fruits and the vegetables, even you could take some of the seeds out of a pepper, or if you find tangerines and oranges that have seeds into them, hold on to them.
Oh, yes,
hold
queen.
On to some of those seeds
yes,
and see
queen Amina.
If you plant
yes.
them, will they reap a harvest for you? You know, so we're failing, and then we get swept up, as the other beautiful sister queen said, the empress said, about the savior thing. Someone's coming to save me. Ain't nobody coming to save you, boo-boo. Sorry, I'm breaking it to you today. Newsflash on a Sunday evening. No one is coming to save you except yourself. You have to save yourself. You are the savior.
But you understand, queen.
Yes.
Not interrupting you, but do you understand or see the correlation between that savior complex and the mental attitude of the people? Because they feel so trapped.
Yes.
They know that most people, because I used to do social work, I hated it. I hated it specifically because even though I knew that there were places that had exhausted their budget and were no longer able to assist people, I was still mandated to send people to these dead ends, and I hated that. And they said, oh, well, you have to send them to everywhere, even though you already know that they exhausted their budget. It's that they have to build that intrinsic go-get-it, and that used to be like, it used to go against my grain. It just went against my grain. But what I came to realize is that because there was nobody psyching people, and when I say psyching people, we'd really need, when you are empowered with that essence, that aura, that energy, to mentally psych people to get up and get, to come forward, let's get it, let's do it. Yes. We have a responsibility, like I said before, we have a responsibility to do such a thing. We just have to ensure that we don't exhaust our own energies striving to help those who are hesitant or latent in their efforts to save themselves.
Yes, yes. Because it was remarkable what you had mentioned about preparing yourself. You know,
yeah.
I said it was remarkable about what you were saying about having to prepare yourself for the people who pass, for the people who will die. I had this very conversation with a dear, another enlightened sister, and I was saying that, you know, what I have to come to grips with is that we will see many people die, and we will have to deal with that because, unfortunately, especially with the vaccine, and there's an amazing doctor, white female doctor, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who has been trying to be an advocate for humanity against this vaccine, talking about how the COVID-19 depopulation vaccine will begin to take effect in the next 3 to 4 months. That was two months ago.
Mm.
She's a white woman. She has put her whole career on the line. Okay, there's another woman, Dr. Judy Mikovits, she's put her life on the line order to and let us know. Also, Dr. Carrie Madej, they have put their very careers and lives and necks on the line to try to express to us, you really might not want to do this. This is not a good thing. Did you know that they're also talking about how because there's a patent on the vaccine, because there's a patent on the virus. Now, if there's a patent on the virus, then you know something is wrong. As the Reverend said, Dr. Fauci was in Wuhan in 2005. Dr. Fauci used to work for the Bill and Melinda Gates. He still probably does work for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Last time I had checked, he holds up a specific division. He's like the head of a specific division dealing with medicine for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But most of us don't even realize Bill and Melinda Gates and a lot of their little friends are Satanists.
They
worship the devil. Okay, they worship evil. They worship that which goes against the supreme creator of the entire universe. And so this is really heinous because even the doctor that helped to perfect the mRNA vaccine, he's an atheist, and he came out and said, I want to play God. You want to play God, but you don't even believe in God? What are we dealing with, man? We've got to wake up. We've got to snap out of it. And again, for those who aren't going to make it, and I used to say it even as a social worker, I can't save everybody. I know I can't save everybody. I will do my best to help those who wish to help themselves, but I know I can't save everybody because not everybody is going to have the mental capacity to even begin to understand what we're speaking about today. They might think that something is wrong with us, but we're enlightened, we're in tune, we are aware. We can feel it in our very bone marrow that something is wrong with this. Like it never escaped me, ever. I was never like, oh, they're going to make a vaccine. That'd be great. I was like, they're going to make a vaccine in a year. Are you crazy? That was my mindset. So, again.
Okay, to my wonderful queen sisters, I want to bring in a mail. So
come
if
on now.
Would pause for a moment, it was all right with the queens. I would like to bring in 718-350 to share our conversation for this evening.
Ashley.
Give thanks. Ronald A. Robinson. I've just been listening, and as I always do at times, I just listen. But the information that you're giving is definitely correct, and it's speaking of a higher level than we have been trained to understand. And this is the point. Since we've been here, we've been trained to be what they call good people. You know, you talk about the Chinese and Japanese going through what they're going through now because they kept their heads down. And you got to understand something, too. You know, after George Floyd and the massive marches and the stuff, the Chinese start waking up. The Asians start waking up. So, well, if they can do this and they're killing our people, we can do this too, you know. So I give thanks to the movement in general, to the spiritual movement always, you know, and to my sisters who I love who are so enlightened. Praise you, okay. God and goddesses.
One love, brother.
Oh, wonderful to have you. Your queens are right there with you, and we love you. I'd like to bring on another guest as well for this evening, 973-202. Your mic is open. You may join in our conversation. Caller, be aware of your background noise, please. If you wish to join us, 973-202. You're on. Okay, see, this caller is listening in, but I'm not sure what's going on. Queen, I'll turn the mic back over to you. You're my wonderful host for the evening.
If I'm not mistaken, that person came in on my invitation, so she may not even recognize that she's the person that you are directly addressing. She can speak, and, you know, as I said to her, she can or cannot, she can choose if she participates verbally or not. So,
okay, wonderful for that explanation. But I just feel hi to a wonderful queen. It's okay to listen to today because we have great voices. And I'll pass the mic back on to my sister Queen Amina, that you may give us some wonderful words that we are enjoying so much and absorbing in your sheer wisdom. So back on to you, Queen.
Okay, thank you so much. And I want to thank the brother, Ronald Robinson, that just spoke as well. It's my pleasure. It's our pleasure. Thank you for listening and for taking heed and for maintaining your high vibration as well to continue to be a seeker of knowledge and a purveyor of peace and love and justice for all of us. This is what we need. You know, we're not hopeless people. We're not helpless people either. You know, when we come together in one accord, it is absolutely beautiful and wonderful. And although I'm not a religious individual, there are certain statements or lines, if you will, that I do know are prevalent. So even with regard to Christianity, let's say, when Yahshua would say, when two or more are gathered in my name, so shall it be. Like when we come together on one accord for righteousness and love and justice, it is absolutely incredible. It's infinite what we can create and what we can accomplish and achieve. So when we are overly separate and distrustful and we're not vibrating at a high frequency, you know, because everything is about a frequency. And again, we don't realize these things. We turn on a radio, right, and we get music or we get sound or a talk show, but it's coming through the airwaves. It's a frequency. We as humans have frequencies, and it's either low or it's high or it's in the middle, but it does exist. And so as you move up in your frequency, you know, 700 and 500 is love, I believe. When you get to 700, it's enlightenment. We can go as high as we wish or as low as we wish. The Creator created us to have choice. And so what we're choosing is very, very important, because I don't think that a lot of us are cognizant of what we're actually choosing in terms of our everyday lives, lifestyle, what we do, even what we do for a living. you know, there are many of us who don't realize that, okay, yeah, we live in a capitalistic society and we need money and different things in order to make it and to have shelter and clothing and food and have you, because these particular individuals have made it so. It wasn't like this a long time ago. But what you're doing for your work is important as well. What you're lending your personal energy to on a regular basis is very, very important. You know, I personally sometimes get a little distressed when I hear my brothers and sisters tell me, oh, yeah, I'm going to get a position with Johnson & Johnson for the new vaccine because, you know, I need some money anyway. So that, I'm like, what are you talking about? Some people I can have a conversation with about it. Some people I'm like, I'm not interested in having a conversation because it's going to lead to an argument. And you're not going to feel me, hear me, or understand what I'm trying to say anyway. So I got to let it ride. But for those who I know do have a higher spirituality about them, I may really juxtapose the conversation and, like, are you sure that you really understand and understand and overstand what you're doing? Because you're co-signing something that can actually be gravely detrimental to a vast number of people and you don't really realize it for a check? As the Sister Queen said earlier about being in social work and depending on where in social work you are, you could find yourself just spinning in a wheel because you're trying to help people. Your objective is to help people. But the factions, entities, and the companies, the corporations, the crooked nonprofits, hello, they just want their money. So everybody's doing what we call busy work. No one's getting healed. Nothing is done. Send the people on wild goose chases, as she said, to places that don't even have a budget. Why am I going to refer you and make you go all out your way when I know you're not going to get a dime, when I know you're not going to get any help whatsoever? Why would I have you go do that? I'm culpable for that as an entity. We are responsible for what we do. We are very responsible for what we do, especially if we're working with other people. So me, I'm an outreach coordinator at this point in social work. I used to be a case worker for foster care and the kinship foster care program in New York City. That fried me out. I was done with it. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Can't do it. It's too much. It was too much just on my own soul as me, as an entity. It was too much for me. I'm not one to just get money for whatever. That's never been my mode. I cannot be that type of person. That's just who I am. I'm not going to do it. So now I just recently came out of a nonprofit that I was working for over 8 years, and it was great. But we got acquired by a larger nonprofit that was very corporate, very Caucasian, and I knew that they would not support our African values. The agency I came from, we had African tenets, we had African values, we had several programs by the name of Sankofa. We practiced Jin Yame. We went in about who we are. When we did a Juneteenth festival, it was not about getting together to have a barbecue and drink beer and listen to music and dance all day. It was about celebrating the fact of our freedom from slavery. And what does that mean? How do we inculcate that into our present-day reality and then see how we're still being enslaved by these different modalities that we're still suffering under? It's, you know, just getting together and partying because we say it's Juneteenth. No. So I believe that something of that nature requires a very spiritual cleansing day and a day where we don't spend money, with the entity slave us in the first place. I mean, like, it just escapes me sometimes because when we do some of these things, and I'm not trying to poo-poo because people can only do where they are, okay, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. They can only relate to wherever they may happen to be. So I'm not trying to down or put down anyone who may be planning such an event. But if it requires me to fly or if it requires me to travel extensively, as I move in my travels, who am I paying to get where I have to go? Who's going to receive that money? If I'm getting gas every however many hours to be able to travel there, do I have stock in BP? Do I have stock in Exxon? has BP or Exxon or the Marriott Hotel or the Hilton or the Sheraton or anybody, have they do they have any after school programs for our children? Do they have any daycare programs for our working mothers? Are we receiving a benefit from all of the money that we put into these institutions? So to me, on a day like that, no, I don't want to give anybody my money for that. I want to know, I'm a dress in white, I'm going to burn some sage, I'm going to pour some Florida water. I might even fast on that day because of the significance. Because Juneteenth doesn't even mean emancipation. That happened 2 years prior. Juneteenth is when the Texans were freed, when they realized that they were free 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Okay? So what are we, where, hello? I don't live in Texas either. So I'm just trying to see, all right, well, what are we really celebrating when we talk about that? And I know that's a tangent from what we're talking about in terms of health and the vaccine and what have you. But the mindset of us and where we go when we want to celebrate something or do something, a lot of times it means spending money with the entities that helped to enslave us in the first place. And we've got to realize our financial
strength.
Not just responsibility, but with whom we spending our money with all the time. And it's okay to boycott those things every now and again. It's okay to not go and go shopping and spend money on all those things sometimes. Sometimes you need to pull it back a little bit so your presence will be felt. Because when we make economic changes, just like the bus boycott in Alabama, hello?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm saying with Dr. All of that happened because the bus company was going bankrupt. It wasn't because they felt good about black people. It wasn't. That was included in some of the people. But honestly, it was because the major bus company in the town was going bankrupt. And those white bus drivers and that bus company owner was talking to the government like, yo, we got to do something about this because we're losing money.
Yeah.
It goes to the money. You like, I follow the money, baby. When we follow the money.
Again, that's paper. That's paper too.
Yes, we're like, oh.
That's paper.
You know, and like I said, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, all these corporate, mind you, ooh, Moderna, this is the first pharmaceutical that Moderna's created. Moderna's never created a vaccine, ever.
I know, and then when I think of Johnson & Johnson, who cannot even make a proper douche because they were sued many years ago for that FDA product. How now we can trust them to push something in our arm for COVID-19 virus? When
something like that.
No,
you're thinking about trusting them to put it in your arm? Did you hear that they had a glitch and that they pulled the vaccine, and suddenly they were able, with everybody else running out of stuff, they were able by the next week to produce just about the same amount that they had to pull. Where did they pull? It was a magician hat trick, pulling rabbits out of a hat. Where did they get all these so-called, you had a bad batch. You had a bad batch, just like you need flour and you're making some bread, but or some dumplings. You made some and those weren't good, but suddenly you had more flour that was already need and ready to go, to put in the pot. Where did they get that from?
In a short time.
In that short space of time they were able, and then you have so many other people tell you they're running out, they're in short supply, but Johnson & Johnson knows the remedy because they were able to reproduce like that.
Right. Yes. Yes. I mean, it's frightening. And do not forget, I remember like maybe 8 months ago or so, Bill Gates was in India. He met with the Prime Minister, I think Modi. He met with him, and the people of India were very, very upset. And I watched Indian news, okay, which you can watch on cable, and they were so upset because they were like, we've been sold out. First, they were sold out with the farmers, and Monsanto because they tricked the farmers, and then they said, oh, well, we want to, and now they have a new program because they said Facebook and Google and what have you want to help them to automate their seeds and automate their farms. These people don't even have internet. Like, they're not even going to be able to afford to be able to compete. You need a laptop. You need all kind of things in order to make this happen. They're like, there's no way we're going to be able to do this. So the farmers began to commit suicide because they were like, we can't provide for our family. I'm not being who I'm supposed to be if I cannot provide for my family. So they were just committing suicide.
Then all of a sudden, I want to interrupt you for a second.
Mind you, Queen, not cutting you, but I want you to know that they did something very similar in Africa, where only the people who are cultivating agriculture for resale, they can no longer use heirloom seeds, which came down through generations to take to the market. You can plant that for your personal garden, but if you're going to the market, you can only buy the Monsanto seeds, which, even though you're growing it and it's organic, it cannot germinate, and you can only get one crop from it.
Right, one crop.
That's the extent to which they have gone.
Yes. And when we and everybody else is like, la, la, la. No, this is serious. I actually watched something on that, I think, with regard to onions and tomatoes in Africa. And they were very, very upset about it. And it's going everywhere. For it's cassava. It's everything. It's yams. It's everything that can be grown. And we know the richest soil on this planet is there. So
very
I'm like, come on, man. Sorry, Queen. I know you were getting ready to... to say something else, but
I wanted to reflect on one thing that you said. You said recently Bill Gates went to India, but now look what is happening in India. Bodies are piling on the side of the street. So look, the fact that anywhere this man land is a disaster right after.
Every time. I mean, like you said, the oral polio vaccine in Africa, all the children that are paralyzed and have brain damage permanently in Africa as a result of his oral polio vaccine rollout.
Yes. And he himself was given vaccination. There's pictures of him pushing needles in the arms of black children.
Serious. And yet everybody's like, oh, they do great things. No, they do great, horrible things. Serious.
Exactly.
They're naive to it. And this, I believe, is why Mugabe is dead.
Oh, my God.
Okay, the president of Zimbabwe, right?
Yes, because his eyes was open wide. And he told them.
Protect his people. He was trying to protect his people because he said, we don't need no vaccine. Ain't nobody even sick here. They killed him. I believe they killed him. And they do it to many, many African leaders. So this is what we're dealing with. It's so sinister. And yet our naivete is off the charts. And yet when people like you and I have these conversations, we're looked at like, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist.
We're the model.
Because there is a conspiracy. Hello?
And what has happened is, you see, but having had intelligence, having had the wisdom, spiritual growth, you are now a factor that people have to be aware of, so they have to label you. Because if we continue to educate our people and our children and bring them onto this side, it will be a whole different dynamic. But if the children continue to be dumbed down, it's exactly where they want them. So we have to somehow grab our children back in some form, and I am here, I'm hoping that the chatting is listening and Dr. Winburn, I'm waiting for that building because I have a big plan for my 12-year-old to 18, because I want the 12-year-old to 18, I want to educate them, and I want four powerful women with me, and I think I already have two on the panel, because we have to do something more than just talk within this, but spread ourselves out and grab hold of those children, because it's a dumbing down of the nation.
I want to challenge you, my sister, in as much as you have embarked upon this, I will challenge you by next Sunday, between now and next Sunday, to visit three schools, three, and that's just the minimum you can visit. but visit tree school at dismissal time, just three elementary schools, and listen to the narrative of the teachers to the parents who are picking those children up. Look also at the reaction of the parents to the information that they are receiving, and then understand the depth of the psychology that we have to go to, the extent to which we have to go to understand where and how to do this healing. I thank you.
Yes, she's right on that one. I see it is a great challenge, and I see. I see really it's like almost like a bottomless pit that I have to probably go to a very, very dark tunnel. I know it's been a very dark place. I know we are in a very painful place as well. But this is a time whereby it's a spiritual warfare and nothing else but that. And it's a case whereby we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness, rule of the darkness of this world. We are right there, but there must be a solution because good conquers evil. And as much as we see evil upon this land, there's a time where Gwachuan have to rise up and show themselves. And I know it's not an easy journey, sister, because I have seen animals in our 15-year-old children. And I wonder, how did you even dare? But there's no blame to pass, but there's a dynamic to break, is what I'm seeing. And it's not an easy journey. That is why we need the lioness to come out and hunt. We need them to come out and hunt. Because what is happening here, we are losing our children somehow. Mm-hmm. And these children, all they want is an arm around the shoulder sometimes to say, I love you. Mics are open.
Yes. Yeah, I used to teach school. I was certified, kindergarten through 12th grade, and my favorite grades to teach was junior high school. And so I taught science, and I taught language arts, and I always went against the grid. I always stayed out of the box. I had to teach the curriculum, but within it, I would always teach the Africanness about it, the origins about it. I said, I can't teach you chemistry unless you understand that chemistry comes from Kemet. There's no way I can do that for you. You're going to miss the whole thing. You know, there's no way I can teach you about biology if you don't know about melanin and you don't know about how powerful you are sitting in front of me. I can't teach you mathematics until you understand that we created mathematics. And so when I hit them with that in the first week of school, and we can ride it out all the way to June, because we went to June in New York, they would be like, oh, my God. I'm like, you're studying yourself. So there's nothing you can't learn. It might be a little difficult from time to time, but I'm staying here every day till 6 o'clock to help you anyway, because I stayed till 6 o'clock after school. So I worked basically from 7:30 in the morning till 6 at night when I taught school. And I made sure my students really overstood everything I was trying to give them in context to who they were as melanated children. Because I had nothing but melanated children. I only had maybe two white children in my whole career of teaching. But my school district and the neighborhood and the county and where I lived was predominantly black. So I taught black and Latino children, black and quote-unquote brown, no, black and black, hello, children, in that way. And my principal at the time just loved what I was doing because he knew that I was reaching them and I could pull them up, literally pull them up. So regardless of their circumstance, I had children who had parents who were alcoholics, crack addicts, children who were in the foster care system, lived with grandma, lived with strangers. I had children fighting gang violence and gang inclusion. I had children who were raped. I had children who were beaten up. I had children who were alcoholics by 12. And so how do I reach you? Now, again, my major was sociology and social work. So I'm like, okay, I got to get you. I have to hit your brain in a way where you're going to really look at me, because otherwise you ain't going to pay attention to me anyway. You're not going to give a damn about what I'm saying. But if I hit you in your brain, it's what's relevant to you as an entity. I'm zooming in. I'm honing in on that. And I'm tying in your heart chakra, who you are. what you're emanating, what you need, what you're missing. You don't even know what you're missing if you didn't get it, honey. So I would tell all my babies, I love you. I would tell them, nobody told you today, I'm going to tell you, I love you. This is my cell phone. Yes. If you have a problem, you call me. If you have a situation, you call me. If I need to come with backup, if I need to call the police, if I need to call any of my other constituents, you let me know. But you have an advocate in this world. You have someone who loves and cares about you. I said, because when I get old, by the grace of God, I'm going to need you to have all your faculties and senses and sensibilities. I'm going to need you to help me get on the bus and not steal my purse as I get on the bus.
Black power. One second. What I want to say at this time, I want to thank all my wonderful guests at this time who came out this evening. Join me again next week, Sunday, for a wonderful time and talk. We have come to a close. The time has come so fast without, you know, us understanding and knowing. So I'm hearing my background music being played. Dr. Rainbow, I thank you so very much. Queen Amina, my sister Queen, Queen Olabisi, always a pleasure to have you. And for all else who are listening,
thank you.
Yes, and I would join you on Monday, Queen. I would make that effort to listen to your wonderful words of wisdom and your Black Alice of Wonderland. It's also between 7 and 9.
Yes,
so
yes.
So we can catch our wonderful Queen sister in her Black Alice in Wonderland forum on Monday. Thank you so very much again, everyone that has joined me on this wonderful Sunday evening. This is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation, thanking you to join me again for the next Sunday. And Dr. Rendon, thank you so very much as well.
I stay.